Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. Well, today we're going to talk about the gallbladder, help for your gallbladder. And this is, we're just going to go right into a kind of funny question. What is the gallbladder, Dr. Prather?
Well, the gallbladder is just basically a sac where the bile and the toxins from the liver are concentrated. And then when you eat some fat in your diet, there's a stimulation. There's a hormone that is secreted by your stomach when fat hits it that goes over to the gallbladder and causes the gallbladder to squeeze out the bile into the system.
Ah, and it's pretty small, isn't it?
It's pretty small, about 2 inches by 4 inches. It sits underneath the liver on the right side, kind of tucked up underneath there. It's considered part of the biliary system, which is the drainage of the liver.
And it can cause so much havoc for
it
being so little.
Cause an awful lot of havoc, yes.
And well, let's talk about what does the gallbladder do.
The gallbladder, it actually has quite a few importance. What it does is it actually will secrete the bile. And if you don't have that, you can't really absorb fats very well. So one of the things that, for a test, we also do tests on the stools. Uh-huh. And if you have too much fat coming through, then you probably don't have your gallbladder working right.
Oh, so when you do the diagnostic.
When we do the diagnostics. And that can affect quite a few things. One, your absorption of the fat-soluble vitamins. Mm-hmm. You don't get those quite as much. Vitamin D, vitamin E, vitamin K. So it's a very important type of thing along those lines. It also turns your stool brown.
Mm-hmm.
It helps with the peristalsis of the bowels. So constipation is one of the results. And interestingly enough, constipation causes gallbladder issues, and gallbladder issues causes constipation.
So they go hand in hand.
Yeah, they do. So you have nutritional deficiencies if your gallbladder is not working right.
Mm-hmm.
The bowels don't work correctly. Just the quality of the stools completely change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as people talk about that. Increased gas,
mm-hmm,
is one of the things that also occur. So it does all fun stuff. So it does have quite effect on your health and well-being.
Mm-hmm. It's important, you know, to look at your stools. They tell you a lot. There was a book out, What Does Your Poop Say?
Yeah, What Does Your Poop Say?
But that, it's important.
Well, one of the things, you know, I ask my patients, you know, who have gallbladder issues is, you know, watch the color of your stool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it starts to get light, then we have a problem.
The lighter brown, you mean?
Yes. And sometimes it can even go white. And when it does that, really light colored, almost a clay color,
mm-hmm,
then you have an obstruction.
Albino.
Yeah. So, the other thing that starts to occur, if you have an obstruction, then you also get jaundice. So you get the yellow eyes, yellow skin, those types,
mm-hmm,
of things. So
be checking your stool.
Yeah, make sure that that's going on, and keep an eye on everybody's stool.
We could do a whole show on that.
Yeah, we could.
Not today, though. So why is the gallbladder important?
Well, the gallbladder, it's just, for those people who don't have their gallbladder,
mm-hmm,
you don't have the regulation of the whole fat. So when if you don't have your gallbladder, you have to be able to be taking some supplements that go along with that. In other words, it's pretty much a requirement to have normal stools. If you are starting to have some gallbladder types of issues, you can start to notice some changes. So I always tell people it's important to keep your gallbladder. One, it keeps your bowels healthy. It keeps your nutrients up. And if you don't have your gallbladder, you're going to need to do some supplementation. Otherwise, you're going to have health issues.
Right. I don't think people realize that. They think, oh, I'm going to get my gallbladder out. I'm going to feel better. This spare tire around me is going to go away. And that doesn't happen.
And I do, you know, there are definite times where I say you have to have your gallbladder out.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things. But you should always try to fix it, if at all possible, first, because if you don't have your gallbladder, you're going to have nutritional deficiencies that you have to make up.
Mm-hmm.
Your bowels are never going to work the same. Your fat, you know, your body working with the fat system isn't going to work right. It does affect weight.
Mm-hmm.
If your gallbladder is not working right, it's going to put a tire on your middle.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a gallbladder, it's definitely going to put a tire on your middle.
It's always good to keep as many organs as you can, right?
It is. And, you know, that's one of the things that we always encourage people to get yearly, annual blood tests.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, look at those types of things and take it seriously.
Right.
You know,
and we're coming close to the end of the year. People have reached their deductibles. Real important to come in and do those wellness checks.
Yeah, you know, get that blood test and check and see how your gallbladder is doing.
So can we live without our gallbladder?
We can. It is something that you really need to, if you don't have your gallbladder, you need to have someone who can help you out to cut down on the effects of not having your gallbladder.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that's very interesting is I had a patient who came in and was having quite a bit of issues. And I was looking at it. Bilirubin was raised up, all those types of things. And I said, you know, there's a real problem here.
Mm-hmm.
And she had had her gallbladder out. And so
her bilirubin was still up.
Well, bilirubin was up. It had actually been quite a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked at the whole thing, did an ultrasound. They checked on it. It did look like she needed some surgery. They went in there and she'd grown a new one back.
She grew a new one back?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
So that is... and what had happened to the first one, she had had gallstones in there. And so she needed to have that one removed, too. So she had and that was real interesting trying to explain that to the insurance company. The poor surgeon.
Uh-huh. Just grew another one.
So, and if you don't have your gallbladder, the biliary tract can also become it acts almost like a pseudo gallbladder. But it doesn't have the same regulation, you know,
the tract.
It's not as good. Right, the tract itself is mm-hmm. going to try to take up that function.
Mm-hmm.
So when I tell people that the gallbladder is acting up, the biliary system, you know, I have to throw in there for those that don't have their gallbladder, because they thought that was fixed because they don't have a gallbladder anymore.
Right.
So it's
but interesting that something else takes that over.
Right.
Yeah, but not as effective. So when should you have your gallbladder removed?
Well, you know, if you have some obstruction in there, it can also be extremely diseased.
Mm-hmm.
There can be infections. One of the things that we had on a patient that was a really interesting case is she had tremendous amount of bowel problems, everything like that, had elevated bilirubin levels. And I you know, had checked it out and said, you know, it's your gallbladder. And she had thought that, but we sent her in for a flow study on the gallbladder, and it worked fine.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, well, it was a situation where surgically, a lot of surgeons had been doing any time that there was any type of elevation of the bilirubin,
mm-hmm.
which is the blood measurement of your gallbladder, they were taking them out, and they were taking out way too many.
Mm-hmm.
And so the insurance company said, hey, we're not going to pay for it. You have to have certain criteria. And one of the things was a flow study, you know, to see if there was an obstruction. And the obstruction was, you know, there was no problem with the flow study. So they said, well, it's not your gallbladder. And I said, well, you know, the pain and everything follows it, because you get a pain right in the gallbladder area and also traveling to the right shoulder. The elevation on that, they said, well, it's just what's called Gilbert's syndrome, which is a hereditary high bilirubin levels. Mm-hmm. And I disagreed with him and said it was still a problem. So she had gone on with that, and they were saying no, she was saying yes. And anyway, she passed out, and she had rigidity of the abdominal wall, which means it's an emergency situation. So they took her down to the hospital and said, you know, we're going to, there's something really wrong. We need to do some exploratory surgery. So we're going to check out your intestine, see if there's an obstruction. And she said, can you just check my gallbladder? And the surgeon who had been dealing with her, because he had been her surgeon anyway, mm-hmm. rolled his eyes. And she said, you know, you're in there anyway. Just check it out. Mm-hmm. So when she woke up from the surgery, there was a very contrite surgeon there who said, it was the worst gallbladder I'd ever seen. Wow. It had necrotized. It had started to become dead material. And she had like 24 hours to live when they did the surgery.
Wow.
Because it had become infected, mm-hmm. not blocked.
Wow.
So it
had to be gangrene.
Yes, it was gangrenous.
Wow.
So it was a, you know, so there are a lot of things that can happen mm-hmm. to the gallbladder. And we had also, I had mentioned that possibility because I did a stool sample and found some amoebic parasites that could cause it. You're right. Mm-hmm. So I was suggesting the infection. And they were poo-pooing that idea, but it wound
up. No pun intended.
Yeah, actually it was. So that was an interesting situation. And, you know, I mentioned Gilbert's disease. I've mm-hmm. had many a patient came in who had elevated bilirubin. I said, well, you know, I think we have a problem with your gallbladder. And they said, well, my doctor said it's Gilbert's disease. And we said, well, we'll see. But I haven't ever come across a true Gilbert's disease
in all your years
in all my
practice,
years, of practice,
years of practice
because we've always been able to get the biliary bilirubin levels under control.
And it starts to, I mean, you can pulpate on people
or palpate.
Yeah, oh, palpate, sorry.
They may not have understood what palpate was. Palpate, where I poke on people.
Right. I know exactly
where it is.
And
yeah.
then recommend the
oh yes
with their, you know, that, symptoms.
That poor lady, I poked on her gallbladder and, yeah. and she almost passed out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to the right rhomboids, which is the area that the muscles go into spasm.
By the shoulder blades, yeah.
Right, and the reason she came into me was because of the right scapular pain.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I told her right away that, you know, I'm not going to be able to, that pain. And that's oftentimes how I find gallbladder problems on people is they're coming in
for structural issues.
For chiropractic adjustment. They said, my chiropractor just cannot fix this pain over in my right shoulder blade. And I said, well, yeah, it's not a spinal problem.
It's your gallbladder.
It's the gallbladder.
And this patient you're talking about came to you. This was at the beginning of your practice three
yes.
years ago.
Right.
Yeah, she still comes in
right.
For her.
So we're still keeping things under control, and we convinced her that she needed to stay on things to control that, which is really helped.
Yeah, she realized her life was saved.
Right.
Oh, when we come back, more on help for your gallbladder.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. Dr. Prather, there was a major study by an insurance company that focused on the healthcare model you use in your office. What were the results of that study?
It actually was quite a seismic mm-hmm. finding. I like that term.
Yeah.
Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. It's a Chicago-based health maintenance organization. The group has 600,000 enrolled members. So they took about 10,000 of those mm-hmm. and put them in with chiropractors who are trained in the structure-function model. Mm. Now, not all chiropractors are trained in the structure-function model. These gentlemen actually got the same type of training that I had. And they were the primary care physicians. After 5 years, they had startling results. They had a reduction of 60.2% in hospital admissions.
Wow.
They had 59% reduction in hospital days. They had a 62% reduction in outpatient surgeries and procedures, and a remarkable 85% reduction in pharmaceutical costs.
Wow.
This resulted in a total savings in the first 5 years of 40% over all the other primary care physicians.
40%.
40% reduction. If you can imagine that we could reduce our healthcare costs across the board by 40%.
And get those kind of results.
And there were 80% less reactions. There was a reduction in lawsuits. There was a reduction in everything. Plus, the people were much, much healthier and much more satisfied. The interesting thing is that the specialists, the cardiologist, the oncologist, the gastroenterologist, all the specialists, as they were asked to rate the difference in the two different models, they gave the structure function model as the primary care coming in a 96% satisfaction rating, and they gave the disease model as primary care a 40%. The results are indisputable.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. The end of the year is a busy and hectic time for all of us as we get swept up in holiday schedules. But it also might be the perfect time to take advantage of your health insurance benefits before deductibles and flexible spending accounts expire at the end of the year. If you're close to or have already met your insurance deductible, you have every incentive to take full advantage of all healthcare needs before the deductible resets. And for those with flexible spending accounts, you'll forfeit any unused funds at the end of the year. Now is the time to consider the benefits of your health insurance plan and schedule that annual wellness check. At the Prather Practice, we encourage everyone to have a thorough annual physical and the appropriate lab test that will map out the blueprint to your health. Don't miss out on the full benefits of your health insurance plan. Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice before the end of the year. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
And I'm feeling good.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. We're talking today about help for your gallbladder. And Dr. Prather, what are the symptoms of a troubled gallbladder?
You can get some abdominal pain, and is one of the things. I go in there and palpate, you know, because they're saying I got some discomfort in through here. The abdomen's not really very good on picking up exactly where the pain is. So people might think it's elsewhere. You know, I hurt down here, but the problem is elsewhere. So going in there and feeling the abdomen is an extremely important diagnostic tool. And when there is, because I know exactly where the gallbladder is, so when I go in there and press on it and you have gallbladder issues, they confirm it. Usually by grabbing my hand.
Or smacking you across the face.
Right. We don't encourage that. Also, there's digestive issues. They usually talk about how smelly their gas is.
Or their significant other.
Their significant other.
They're losing friends.
Because when you get the fat through there, you know, if it's not, if it's, that's when you get the real stinkers. Okay, so if you got real stinkers going on, very good possibility that you have gallbladder problem, and an increase in flatulence too. Also, as I had mentioned, pain over into the right scapular area, the rhomboids go into spasm. There is a misalignment that goes along with the gallbladder. The dorsals from T4 to T8 shift over to the right.
So that thoracic area.
That thoracic area will shift.
That vertebrae shift.
Right. That goes along with that because there's some nerve interference, and so the body shifts along with those lines. So those are some of the things. A constipation, another different type of...
Nausea.
Nausea. There are oftentimes GERD symptoms. So when people are coming in and they've got the reflux and they're taking Tums, you know, different types of things, Nexium, all those types of things, it may not really be the stomach. It could be a gallbladder issue. And then you get the reflux. You get that bile taste in your mouth where it regurgitates up and can cause problems with the esophagus. So oftentimes that's really a gallbladder problem, not necessarily a hydrochloric acid problem.
Got it. So how many people have gallstones?
It's about 20% of the people start to have gallbladder issues throughout their life. About when you get over 65, it's about 40% of the people have gallbladder issues, and that includes both inflamed gallbladder and gallstones.
Okay.
So, but about 500,000 people have their gallbladder removed every year. 50,000.
50,000. Okay.
Yeah, 50,000 people have their gallbladder removed every year.
So, what risk factors are associated with having gallbladder issues?
Again, one of the main things is the vitamin deficiency.
Okay.
Vitamin D has a tremendous amount to do with our hormones. It also has a huge amount to do with our immune system. It increases cholesterol levels, which can lead to cardiovascular problems. It's an increase in colon cancer because of that. Also, other different types of cancers.
So the gallbladder issues can cause...
can lead to those problems.
And vice versa, or...?
Yeah, other problems can also lead to gallbladder issues. Mm-hmm. So if you have a toxic bowels, it can lead to it can lead to a toxicity of the liver, and when the liver gets toxic, also the gallbladder becomes an issue. So the liver and the gallbladder are very closely related, and usually they start to move together. So if you start to have gallbladder issues, eventually you'll start to see changes in the liver enzymes also, and changes in the liver itself. So the two very much go together. So when the liver starts to become toxic, the gallbladder is going to become toxic, and if the gallbladder becomes toxic, the liver becomes toxic. So trying to keep those things going along well together. Hemorrhoids also are a common sign of liver and
gallbladder
issues.
Lots of fun stuff.
All sorts of fun stuff, yes.
Why is obesity such a risk factor?
Well, obesity changes the whole chemistry of the body. One, it acidifies the body. It changes your ability to absorb fat. It changes the insulin levels. It puts increased stress on every system of the body. And when it does that, then your toxicity levels go up, and then the gallbladder becomes a big issue. One of the things is that the gallbladder is very very highly respondent to the hormones of the body. Matter of fact, it's a hormone that actually causes it to excrete the bile into the intestine. So it is very responsive, and if you become estrogen dominant, estrogen leads to increased gallbladder issues. So that's one of the real risk factors that goes into the gallbladder.
Like a vicious cycle.
Becomes a vicious cycle, yeah.
Why are women more likely to have gallbladder issues? It seems like, am I right, that women after having children.
I'm going to put it out there, but there was three things that you're supposed to learn in medical school, chiropractic school, any type of healthcare, is gallbladder issues are the three F's: fat, 40, and female.
Oh, fat, 40, and female. Hmm.
That has a lot to do with the estrogen dominance. Mm-hmm. So women are much more likely, 2 to 3 times more likely to have gallbladder problems than a male because of the higher estrogen levels. Mm-hmm. Seems to put a lot more stress on the gallbladder than other different types of issues. Mm-hmm. So the females, of course, have higher estrogen levels. And if you become estrogen dominant, then you become much more likely to have gallbladder issues, but also to put on weight. An imbalance in the hormones can really lead to... So you have the... If the hormones go off, you start to put more pressure on the gallbladder. And then you put on weight, which puts on more pressure on the gallbladder, which also changes the digestion and the stress on the liver, which puts more pressure on the gallbladder.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah, there's that vicious cycle.
Again, that vicious cycle.
Yeah, and I think, is it because women, after they have children...
There is a hormonal change.
The hormonal change.
Right.
Fat percentage changes.
Right, there is a shift that takes place in a female, mm-hmm, when she has babies, where they become more estrogen dominant.
Now, are there race factors with gallbladder issues?
Yes, black Americans, mm-hmm, have a much higher incidence of gallbladder issues. So that goes along with that. Also, Native American. So,
why is that?
There's a couple of different tendencies along those lines. They aren't completely sure exactly why. There is, if you have a hereditary tendency towards gallbladder issues, you're children, but that's determined by balance, everything like that. Mm-hmm. But also, there's a higher obesity rate, higher insulin tolerance along those lines.
Right.
So those types of things go along with that. The populations that are usually more skinny, as a tendency, Orientals, mm-hmm, Asians, have a tendency not to be as much of a problem with gallbladder. Caucasians are probably next, but mm-hmm, Black Americans and of African origin, and then also with Native American, then they also have a higher incidence along those lines.
Interesting. Are genetics involved?
Genetics are definitely involved. We do find that if your mom, your grandma, and your aunts all had gallbladder issues, you're going to have a much more tendency along those lines. And there are some genetic factors that have been identified that can make a difference on your gallbladder.
Okay, and when we come back, we're going to talk about holistic treatments to save those gallbladders out there.
Absolutely.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.
Laughter is the best medicine.
I'm a little fat. I went to the doctor. He told me I had to lose 100 pounds. I'm out of shape, folks. I sweat in a cold shower. That's out of shape. 3 weeks ago, I pulled a muscle at the buffet. That's out of shape. Oh, is that ham? Oh, God. I should have stretched. Oh, feel the burn. Feel the burn. Oh, is that pizza? I gotta go. Hold on.
A special message from the DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice.
Are you tired of making the same weight loss resolution only to end up right back where you started? Let the professionals at DTS Weight Loss Center take all the frustration out of dieting. Our nutritionists and wellness coaches know what works for every body type and can develop a plan specific to your needs throughout your medically supervised program. Make the change by visiting us online at dtsweightlosscenter.com. Dedicate. Transform. Succeed.
When you call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment at our DTS Weight Loss Center, mention the Voice of Health radio show and you'll receive a free initial consultation plus a free body composition analysis. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice. Dedicate, transform, succeed. I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue. We're talking today about help for your gallbladder, and we're going to talk a little bit about me. This is one of my weakest organs in my body, gallbladder, and you've had to treat it since, what is it, those three Fs? Fat, 40, and female.
Which I'm very glad you're female.
Thank you. So let's talk about, you know, it hasn't been an issue constantly.
Sure.
But we've been watching it. We watch it on my blood work.
Right.
So I'll have you talk a little bit about that. You can talk about my gallbladder. I'm not sure.
I can talk about your gallbladder. We have had it ultrasound and flow study and things like that. Mm-hmm. Very good. No stones. Mm-hmm. Basically, you get your gallbladder inflamed. So cholecystitis is what they call that. So you can have cholelithiasis, which is where you get the stones in there, or you can just have an inflamed gallbladder, where it just gets a little bit over-toxic. Usually, it's an imbalance of some of the material in there, becomes inflamed when you're trying to get rid of too many toxins.
Mm-hmm.
So, one of the things that we did is your bilirubins aren't that high, and most doctors really wouldn't pay too much attention to it. Your bilirubin level was 1.1. It really should be no higher than 0.7.
And I was 1.1.
1.1,
mm-hmm.
Which is just barely out of what they call reference range. But as structure function care, we don't look at it that way. We look at the ideals. Mm-hmm. So we don't want it to go too low, which is a bad sign, or mm-hmm. we don't want it to go too high. So 0.7 is where it should be. So what we did was we just started you on some products to get that under control, which you could tell immediately a difference.
Yes.
On that. And
I was not feeling well.
Right. And one of the things that
I'm not used to not feeling well.
Right. So. One of the things you had just, you know, because you were trying to get yourself healthy, that you had lost some weight recently.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, you need to watch out for the liver and the gallbladder, because as you lose weight, you get rid of toxins. And when you get rid of toxins, it goes to the liver and the gallbladder to be processed, and it's excreted. So one of the things, as people lose weight, we give them extra nutrients along those lines. We usually give them some what we call lipo shots to help the liver to work better.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also watch that and encourage some diathermy over the liver, too. There was I don't think you were able to keep up with all those things.
No, we went through.
You're so busy.
Stressful.
Some
couple
stressful
weeks.
Time.
Yeah.
Oh, and stress has a lot to do with gallbladder too.
Mm-hmm.
Have increased stress, then that puts extra. So those.
So I went back to emotional eating. Let's just put it that way, which is full of fat.
Well, also just stress itself
and
changes the acidity of the body.
Mm-hmm.
So all those things combined, and you started to have some symptoms, and we poked on your gallbladder, and you grabbed my hand.
Uh-huh.
And
no, I slapped you. The wife can do that.
Yeah. And your bilirubin was high, so we got you on some products and started to get that under control, and you're feeling much better again.
I'm feeling a lot better, right. Yeah. And it just affects, you can see it in the abdomen, you know, just
the abdomen
fat
swells.
Added. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so nice, so quickly, the change.
Right.
About
how quick did it? Could you tell it when you started?
Within a day, it started feeling better.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, you can just feel that on your right side, and then my stools. And I was
getting hemorrhoids and all those things, and within a day to 2 days, starting to feel much better.
You feel closer to the audience right now.
Yeah. I'm being vulnerable. So when our radio listeners come into the office, they'll say, I'm not Lisa. Well, let's talk about, why is constipation an issue with gallbladder disease?
Well, constipation is one of the things that it causes a toxicity, actually puts out chemicals that the liver has to deal with that it normally doesn't. Mm-hmm. And it tries to put them back out into the gallbladder, which backs it up, causes it to go into spasm even. So constipation is bad on a lot of different types of cases. Liver and gallbladder issues are much higher. Cancers, it kicks up quite a few different types of cancers in the body. And it also leads to cardiovascular disease. Mm-hmm. So constipation... Oh, you know, I've always been constipated my whole life.
Not
I hear
a good
that.
Thing.
And people say, oh, no, I'm pretty good. I go at least twice a week.
Whoa.
I know. And I'm going, oh, no, that's not real good. You're supposed to go twice a day. Uh-huh. Anything less than that is considered constipation.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's people go, oh, my. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever done that in my whole life. And one of the things that we're always constantly doing is trying to get people to go on a regular basis. And that's a very important part of people's health. It's not just a minor type of issue and shouldn't be passed over. So that's one of the things that we talk to people about and try to make sure that they are on a regular schedule on that, because that's an indication of good health.
It's important to pay attention. You know,
it is.
When we go on a diet, we're journaling our foods. We should be paying attention not only to what we eat, but
also the ability to be able to detox too. Mm-hmm. When I have people who are on a diet and they're not going to the bathroom, I say, oh, no, that's not really, we don't allow that. Mm-hmm. So we have to get the stools going.
Okay. Well, what role does hydrochloric acid deficiency play in the gallbladder?
That is a major factor for the... for our health of our body, but it is something that causes extra stress because you're not digesting your proteins. You're not starting out with the whole process of getting the body, getting the food digested. So if you start to have some hydrochloric acid deficiencies, then you start to have some issues with the whole pattern on that, and makes a direct effect on the gallbladder. So the gallbladder can affect the stomach, and the stomach can affect the gallbladder. And watching that pattern along those lines, and just to let you know, no one has too much hydrochloric acid in their system.
Okay.
The only way that the hydrochloric acid goes is on deficiencies, not an increase. So when people say that, you know, I have acid, you know, that have the acid stomach, and they sit there and they give them something to suppress it. It's not that they were too low, not that they were too high on their acidic, they were too low on it. But the cells that make the hydrochloric acid also make the mucus lining of the stomach. And it's what has decreased is the mucus lining of the stomach, not the hydrochloric acid.
Oh, interesting. I think there's a lot of confusion out there.
There's a lot of confusion. Matter of fact, even a lot of doctors aren't aware of how that all works. So the way that you fix the GERD symptoms is not by decreasing the acid. It's by increasing the mucus and the mucus lining in the stomach.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. And I remember at the lupus symposium, you talked about this.
Hydrochloric acid leads to a lot of different types of issues, and very involved with all autoimmune diseases, too, and cancer.
Well, what role does diet play?
Diet is absolutely huge. One of the things that is excellent in diet is the Mediterranean diet is really the best. If you go to Italy... And
let's
Greece.
Go.
You're already signed up. Then they take in a lot of olive oil. And nobody has gallbladder issues.
Yeah, one thing I do if my neck's up is take a piece of bread and soak it in olive oil.
Yes.
Soak it like a soup with bread in it. and that really helps.
Yeah, and it's it tremendously has a lot to do with the oils in our system. So the problem with gallbladders is if you're taking in animal fats. Animal fats make the gallbladder bad. Plant-based fats, as long as they're not processed, makes the gallbladder healthy. So the if you remember, the gallbladder is all about processing the fats in our body and getting the nutrients out of it and working that to the benefit of our system. So the fat balance of the system is extremely important. So what you want to do is avoid the animal fats and go more with the vegetable fats. The other big thing is fiber. Fiber versus carbohydrates and sugar, there's a direct relationship on that. Fiber is one of the quickest ways that you can get your gallbladder under control. You know, it's recommended that we should get, well, according to the Dietary Association, it's like 15 grams of fiber, which is ridiculous. For the average person, it should be 45. If you're in a disease state, you should get it up to 75 grams of fiber. And you should keep the carbohydrates and the sugar levels down to about 15 grams. So,
but just changing that.
Right. And that's for healthy. If you want to maintain your health, the average American is going to, well, the average American takes in 200 grams of sugar type stuff into our system a day. It should be 45. So if you're maintaining health, 45 grams of sugar, simple carbohydrates, and 45 grams of fiber. But if you really want to improve your health, you're in a unhealthy situation, 75 grams of fiber and 15 grams of sugar.
And what's nice about fiber, it fills you up, you know?
It does.
It doesn't leave
well,
you hungry.
Oh, yeah, it sedates
it's satisfying.
It's very, it's amazing how quickly that changes. As a matter of fact, even the amount of calories, if you have high fiber, it changes the bacteria of your gut, which makes it much more healthy. And it cuts down, even if you eat the same amount of calories, it cuts the amount of weight that you put on by 50%. By the calories. So fiber is just like one of the biggest keys to your health and well-being that you possibly could.
No one's out there like promoting a fiber diet.
Yeah, fiber diet is really the answer. Avoid legumes. It increases estrogen. Eating breakfast. Not eating breakfast actually is a real problem for the gallbladder because then it doesn't empty out from the night before.
Oh, interesting.
So one of the things that's a danger for the gallbladder is not eating breakfast. Alcohol consumption is a definite no-no for it. Coffee, interestingly enough, if you have stones, gallbladder stones, it's really bad for it. But if you, actually it's the other way around. Coffee actually decreases gallbladder stones. But it causes the gallbladder to go into spasm, which contracts it, and will, if you have inflamed gallbladder, then it actually hurts it.
So coffee was out for me.
Correct. All right.
That's not fun. Okay, when we come back, more help for your gallbladder.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. Dr. Prather, what is diathermy?
The way that we like to describe it to people is it's a large coiled magnet that produces a shortwave beam that goes into the body. Men with prostate infections, prostatitis, get up and say, "Oh, wow, I'm not in pain anymore. Or, I don't have that irritation." So in chronic types of different types of infections, sinus infections, ear infections, lung infections, for the bladder infections, kidney infections, we can utilize it on that. One of the things that is really, really important for diathermy and underutilized is increasing the circulation. And we've had patients who were scheduled to have amputations of toes, even feet, because of the loss of circulation. circulation due to diabetic neuropathy. Mm-hmm. And we were able to have a series of diathermy treatments, usually about 24. If you set up the diathermy, have the right settings, which we know and understand, you don't have to go through the amputations that are involved. That's one thing that isn't put out there as it should be, which was very frustrating. You know, it's just like this gentleman said, you know, I was scheduled to have my foot cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And 24 sessions with the diathermy, and the vascular surgeon says, I've got better circulation than he did.
Did he tell him about the diathermy unit?
He did. And the guy said, well, I'd never heard of that before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be effective. And that was one of the old things that the diathermy unit was used for, was for the diabetic neuropathy with the loss of circulation down into the feet. So if someone's scheduled to have their toes cut off or foot cut off, the diathermy is something that definitely should be looked at. It's been effective on everyone so far.
And you talked about 24 sessions, but when you look at different patients, the amount of sessions would be different for different issues that they have, correct?
It can be. Otitis media, you see an immediate difference just that day.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, the people with loss of circulation can tell a big difference right away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says, "Why well, I've got pink toes now. I haven't had pink toes in a long time."
Mm-hmm.
And not only just for the circulation, but for those who have diabetic neuropathy, the diathermy is extremely, extremely beneficial.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. The end of the year is a busy and hectic time for all of us as we get swept up in holiday schedules. But it also might be the perfect time to take advantage of your health insurance benefits before deductibles and flexible spending accounts expire at the end of the year. If you're close to or have already met your insurance deductible, you have every incentive to take full advantage of all healthcare needs before the deductible resets. And for those with flexible spending accounts, you'll forfeit any unused funds at the end of the year. Now is the time to consider the benefits of your health insurance plan and schedule that annual wellness check. At the Prather Practice, we encourage everyone to have a thorough annual physical and the appropriate lab test that will map out the blueprint to your health. Don't miss out on the full benefits of your health insurance plan. Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice before the end of the year. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
It's a beautiful day. Sky falls, you feel like it's a beautiful day. So let it get away.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
We're talking today about help for your gallbladder. And Dr. Prather, we're talking about diet. What diet is best for gallbladder health?
Mediterranean diet is one of the best ones, eliminating animal fats. Alkalize. Very good. Acidity is really bad for the gallbladder, so alkalizing. So hitting those types of foods, and then if you hit a vegetarian, more of a vegetarian type diet, you're naturally going to go more alkalize.
Okay.
So meats are probably the most acidic foods, but going for that.
Stay away from pork.
Yeah, eggs, pork, and onions are the three big no-nos for mm-hmm. the gallbladder.
I didn't know about eggs. Yeah,
eggs are also cause quite a bit, just because there is a lot of fat associated with that.
Mm-hmm.
Fried foods, of course, are really bad too.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of oil you cook them in. The worst thing you can do is pork fat.
Mm-hmm.
That's like horrible for the gallbladder.
So why are food allergies important?
Food allergies are also a big factor. If you have more food allergies, then if you're eating those foods, it is a toxin to the system.
Mm-hmm.
And the gallbladder has to really work with that. And they find huge improvements. I found a lot of improvements with my patients once I eliminated the food allergies from their diet. So we can test for it, blood test, and then find out exactly what's going on, and then get that shifted.
Let's talk about some of the treatment that's been helpful. These things I've had with my gallbladder issues that have been very helpful. Let's talk about chiropractic help. You talked about that thoracic vertebrae,
yes,
you know, moving over.
One thing I always tell my gallbladder patients is they have to be adjusted and get those that T4, T8 moved over to the left because it gives them immediate relief.
Mm-hmm.
So the adjustments, even though that's not the only thing that needs to be done, that does, as you get that adjustment, mm-hmm, on those vertebrae, you do, people go, oh, wow, I just, you know, felt everything kind of release. Now, I'll come back if you don't take care of the gallbladder, but it is an important part of the
And again, that's because the nerves go through the vertebrae
right,
that feed that gallbladder.
Right. There is a feedback loop on that.
Let's talk about the role of acupuncture. This always helps me greatly, too.
Acupuncture, we get a tremendous amount of relief for gallbladder issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it is oftentimes the key to seeing some of the blood work drop. So there are certain points that are specific for the gallbladder. And as we hit those, people usually get immediate relief. So I've had people who were, you know, like emergency room type of pain.
Mm-hmm.
Where they couldn't do anything, and we gave acupuncture along with the chiropractic and got immediate relief for them. So many of my patients sit there and say, wow, acupuncture just really just saved me.
And those people that are like, needles! We do non-needle and needle, and we actually do an evaluation that finds what's best. We've been doing a powder that you keep on for 24 hours now that you developed.
Correct.
That is phenomenal also.
Yes,
so,
yeah. Great results.
The diathermy, love the diathermy. You talked a little bit about it.
It's a big magnet, mm-hmm, and it releases the gallbladder, helps to really settle that down. And again, we see some really big changes, and that's one of our secret weapons on the liver and the gallbladder.
And then what vitamins, herbals, homeopathics are helpful for the gallbladder?
For the gallbladder, vitamin C takes gallstones down.
Mm.
Vitamin E also takes gallstones down. Choline, a good source of choline is lecithin, and that does a very nice job on the gallbladder. Making sure you get your essential fatty acids, especially plant-based. Taurine, which is amino acid, is extremely helpful, and vitamin A helps out tremendously.
Mm.
Some of the herbals, one of my favorite is curcumin. It's got a yellow pigment, and it puts out the bile acid on release by 100%.
Wow.
And it increases the solubility of the bile, thins it,
mm-hmm,
so it releases. So curcumin is one of the magic formulas for the gallbladder.
How do you spell that?
C-U-R-C-U-M-I-N.
Okay.
And you can also use it as an herb. So curcumin is actually pretty standard type of thing. Milk thistle, Silmarillion, also increases the solubility of the bile. Peppermint oil.
Mm-hmm. I have one in my pocket.
Is absolutely an amazing, because I've had people with GERD and other different types of things, and they just started in on the peppermint oil, and it's just sort of like the magic formula for them. Olive oil is excellent. Red beet, especially the tops, is one of the standard types of products that they put in gallbladder. So the beet tops.
Uh-huh.
Beets are excellent, but the beet tops are even better. And you can use them in a salad.
So don't throw them in the garbage.
Don't throw them in the garbage. That's one of the best parts. Globe artichokes.
Mm.
So they're amazing. Dandelion greens.
With olive oil.
Yes.
Yummy.
Dandelion greens, flaxseed, wild yam root helps to lower the estrogen levels, increase the progesterone. Very, very excellent for that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the wonderful products that are well known. And one of the big things that we do also is we provide ox bile. Ox bile is one of the things that really helps out with the gallbladder, and also is absolutely essential if you have your gallbladder removed.
Ox bile.
Ox bile. And that's been used.
Is that an herbal?
It's actually, it's from an ox, and it's the bile from the
okay,
ox.
Okay, that's what I was.
So it's ox bile. And that has been used for the gallbladder for 2,000 years. as a healing product. So very well established and very good.
Very interesting show. Thank you, Dr. Prather, as always.
Thank you, Lisa.
Okay.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.